This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
First question we have is, when I feel like my friends are taking me down the wrong road, how do I stand firm in telling them how I feel while maintaining our friendship?
If I asked you guys this question yourself, what would you do? What would you do in this situation? Anyone has a brilliant solution for this? What would you do? So if you approach them and they don't understand you, then you shouldn't be friends, right? So when you decide, you know what, this not might be the right person for me, what does that exactly mean? Now something that young girls, for example, don't really have yet as part of their skills is sorting their priorities right. We're still influenced by the emotions, which means these are still my friends, I'm going to do everything to maintain that relationship with them regardless. But as we grow older, we start using rationale in order for us to curb some of these emotional urges. So we start realizing, okay, so not everybody is actually worth keeping as a friend. But it takes a while until we get there. So those who are in their 20s, they're better at making decisions on cutting friends out of their circles than those who are younger. But one of the things that people need to understand is that when it comes to the subject of friendship, you need to sort your priorities right as well. And if you know this person is taking you where your goals are, then it's worth keeping. If not, then you're going to have to make some adjustment. Doesn't mean that you cut them off completely, but you're going to start downsizing the relationship with them a little bit. So slowly and gradually, and you see if this would result in them doing better, or maybe start understanding your values as well, then in this case, you keep them around, and inshallah, tell you improve the relationship with them. Otherwise, at some point, you have to learn to minimize and select your life. These are the people who are gender or otherwise.
Like you want to help someone in a friendship, but you're scared that they might bring you down. When do you know when to pull back if you should help? But what if your faith gets impacted and you're trying to help somebody else?
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Bismillah. So this is a bit of a tough question, but I think that it involves self-awareness. You have to be able to be self-aware and be able to look at your own self and see how you're being affected. This involves something called muhasaba, being able to hold yourself accountable. And this is a process that you can't do if you're, as Sheikh Yazid said, always distracted with devices. There has to be time when you're introspecting, looking internally and seeing how you're being affected. So be someone who's introspective, who's watching how you're being affected. Try to help others, yes. The best thing you can do for someone is to make dua for them. That's first and foremost. And then when you give da'wah or when you give nasiha, these are all key words, right? I'll talk about the nasiha part. But when you do that, also be conscious of the effect that is on you, from that relationship. Now, in terms of nasiha itself, I know a lot of people have this, maybe a bad taste in their mouth from this word nasiha, probably because a lot of times people give nasiha, this advice, not in a very proper way, and people oftentimes feel judged or like the other person's being self-righteous or looking down on them. So just a couple tips about giving advice. The first thing is that when you're giving someone advice, make sure that it's coming from a place of compassion and concern, not from a place of arrogance or self-righteousness. Don't ever, when you're giving someone advice, make sure that you also bring to light your own weaknesses. This is important, and I'll tell you why. It's important because it humbles you. It's not intended to stop you from giving advice, because sometimes people think, well, I'm not perfect either, so I'll just leave them. Well, that's like seeing someone running off of a cliff and saying, well, I'm not perfect either. You know, I'm not going to try to do anything to stop them from hurting themselves. No, you stop someone from jumping off a cliff out of compassion, right? Not out of arrogance. And so it just has to be a different place that you're coming from. You're coming from a place of compassion and love and concern, not I'm better than you. You know? So it really has to do with changing your the state that you're in, your the place you're coming from. So by keeping in mind your own weaknesses, it humbles you. And by the way, people can sense that. People can sense when the advice is coming from concern versus arrogance. When someone thinks they're better than you, you feel it, right? And when someone genuinely cares about you, you feel it. So these are things that are felt, and that's how you're going to be more effective in your nasiha, is if you're coming from sincerity and compassion rather than from arrogance. And then secondly, when you're giving nasiha, make sure that you're being grateful for your own protection. Let me just explain that. If you see someone committing a sin, and you're not committing that same sin, let me just remind you, you're committing a different sin, because you're human, right? But say you're not committing that same sin. Do you know why you're not committing that same sin? It's not because you're awesome. It's not because you're just better. It's because Allah protected you. And so there should be a sense of gratitude, not a sense of arrogance.
Can I add something else to this?
Please.
If I want to just add something else to when you want to give them a nasiha and you're afraid that they might pull you down instead of, you know, you bring them back to where they're supposed to be. One thing I learned, of course, through a lot of counseling and so on, is that one thing very important you need to understand is that don't become the physical solution to someone else's emotional crisis. Which means don't get out of your way to help people in a way that might be dangerous for you. So what do we do in this case? You don't need to be the one who provides the solution. No. You need to be the resource, the one that connects the person to the right resource. So for example, if someone needs, let's say, counseling, serious counseling, send them to counseling. You don't have to be the one who gives them counseling. If it's something had to do with drugs, for example, then you're going to have to tell them to go to somewhere where they can find serious help on this issue. Whatever that is they're going through, you don't have to want to be the one who gives the solution, but you can be the friend who's resourceful enough to guide them where they can find help, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. The next one is about, actually there was a couple about this. What do you do when you have a friend that seems to always be negative? How do you help them and how do you prevent their negativity from impacting you?
No. So, if you have a negative friend, what do you do with that friend, Ajamaa? Replace them with another one? No, but why negative friends are so negative? If you look deep into the inside of their behavior, they're doing it because probably they're not as outgoing as you are, they're not as friendly as you are, and as a result, it's harder for them to climb up to meet you up there. So instead, it's easier for you to go with gravity, so they try to pull you down. It's easier to pull you down than going up to your level. And that's why when someone is always negative, they're trying to hide their weakness of not being able to work hard to get to the level of friendliness that you are in. Maybe because of, again, personality issue, skills, whatever you want to call it, it depends. So if someone is constantly and continuously keep pushing you down and putting you down, they're trying to put control over your behavior in that subtle way. So therefore, if at some point you need to be frank with them, so let them know that, hey, listen, I don't appreciate really your criticism in that fashion. If you don't like what I do, I appreciate that, but you don't have to beg to be negative with me. And if they insist in always trying to be negative because they're your friend, let them know, I don't appreciate that. Remember what we said about if someone says something wrong to you, what do you do, Jim? What do you say to them? Remember what we said? No. Learn to say no, even to your friends. It's good for them and for you, inshallah.
Okay, last one. Unfortunately, there's a lot of questions and not a lot of time, but inshallah, our speakers are going to be here for the next couple days, right? Maybe? Inshallah. So if you guys try to hold on to your questions, if you see them, I'm sorry that I can't get through all of them. I'm trying to group them to the best of my ability. But inshallah, the last one for today's session will be, how does one choose a friend that will guide them on the right path in an era where individuals are forgetting their Islamic morals and practicing Islam is like committing a crime?
I'll give a comment.
Okay. I'm going to actually leave that for Sheikh Yasser to comment on, but I'll just say one thing. That's a deep question. I like the way that was said. It was very honest. One thing I will say just shortly before I hand it to Sheikh Yasser is I truly, truly believe in the power of dua. And in my own life, the very blessed people that were brought into my life came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua. So I highly, highly advise people to ask Allah for this. This is actually something that prophets used to ask for. وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ Ibrahim alayhi salam is the friend of Allah, and he's asking Allah to join him with the righteous. That's one of the du'as in the Qur'an, on the tongue of one of the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, we should follow in this tradition of asking Allah for righteous company in this life and the next.
So, again, it's a tough question. The question is, why is it today people don't like to associate themselves with Islamic values anyway? Why don't even young Muslims today, why do they want to leave Islam as an identity and culture? I have a whole session coming tomorrow, inshallah, on the subject, specifically the subject of atheism, why we have a lot of young men and women leaving Islam, if not fully and completely, at least partially. Like, they want to be attached to Islam by name, but not necessarily by practice. We're going to discuss that tomorrow, inshallah, ta'ala. And today at 3 o'clock, I'm speaking also with Dr. Jasser Auda on the subject of modernity and the sacred text. As Muslims, we believe in something we call thawabat. These are fixed matters that we don't really fluctuate, we don't change. Our belief system that there is Quran, there is Sunnah, there is the wahi, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is like the anchor. This is what we call the first principle that is way beyond rational and rationale. It's a super rational thing that you need to believe in regardless of the circumstances. We're going to talk about this more later, inshallah ta'ala. But I've seen it, at least from practicing, you know, the concept with the youth. Why is it exactly they don't want to associate themselves with Islam? One thing, because I grew up in the 1980s and 1990s, where Islam at the time used to be something like super cool, right? Today, it's not cool to be a Muslim anymore. Actually, because we live in the culture of extreme, again, individualism, where everybody's looking after their own personal interest and pleasure and identity and so on. So, today, to associate yourself with Islam as an identity, it's not cool, it's not fun, it's not nothing actually to be proud of anymore, unfortunately. All of this because of the image of Islam and Muslims in the society and in the media. Back in the 1980s and 90s, when I grew up as a teenager back in those days, it was the coolest thing to me. Because being a Muslim and being a youth in the masjid, you're a very trustworthy person, you're wonderful, you're very helpful, you're dressed, and all the good qualities you can think of, it used to be back then. So people, they would push their kids to go to the masjid. Why don't you become like so-and-so? Because they are in the masjid, because they're very good kids. That's how it used to be. Today has changed, unfortunately. But more in details, inshallah, we're going to discuss in the text, in the other two sessions, binallah azza wa jal. It goes back again to us as Muslims. That's a solution. It's not an individual solution. It's a community, really. It's changing the culture of Muslims to be proud of who they are, what they should be practicing, and not compromise their values. Wallahu alaikum.
Jazakumullah khair. One more round of applause for both of our speakers.